May only his word be spoken, only his. Let's try that again. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. The remedy for anxiety from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12. So what makes you anxious? What makes you worried? Is it money? Is it money? Is it your health? Is it a relationship? Do you worry about a child? Do you worry about your parents? Do you worry about your spouse? Do you worry about your job? What causes you anxiety? I know many a Christian who have said to me, I worry too much. I guess I just don't trust God enough. And then they go about worrying about how much they worry. Kind of a trap, isn't it? Many, I think, believe deep down inside that if they stop worrying, something's going to go wrong. So we worry as a way of maintaining control of something of which most of the things we have no control over, right? But I better worry about it because I got to control it. Doesn't work. Worry is an issue of the heart. So it says in the last line of our scripture when it says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Therefore, whatever you worry about, it might very well be your treasure. I mean, if you're always worrying about money, maybe that's because it's an indication that's your treasure. That's where your heart is. That's what you're thinking about. There's a proper distinction, however, between worry and concern. There really is. Nowhere in the Bible does it prohibit us from thinking about food and clothing and money, etc. In fact, if you read through the Proverbs, it tells you to think about those things and order your life in a right and godly way, right? But, and here's the difference, we're not to be preoccupied. We're not to brood over. We're not to be obsessed over material things. This, then, is worry. I like that. I'll do that again. This, then, is... Okay. Our English word worry comes from the German. And the word in German means to strangle. So worry fills us with anxiety. It chokes us. And most of all, it makes us ineffective Christians. Now, Jesus gave us five reasons why we shouldn't worry. Number one, we shouldn't worry because life is more than food and drink and clothing. In our society, at least to you who I'm addressing this morning, food and clothing are small potatoes. If you have anxiety over food and clothing, we who are so well-fed and well-clothed, if you have anxiety and worry over food and clothing, you're opening yourself up to a lot more worries and fears because this is such a small thing. Right? And all fears grow if you give them attention and focus. Jesus is saying about food and clothing and worrying about it, there's a lot more than food and clothing, and if you don't know that, you're not getting the big picture. So, don't worry. Number two, Jesus tells us, consider the animals and plants. They don't worry, and look how well things turn out for them. He uses ravens as an example of animals. Ravens in the Bible are considered an unclean animal, right? Couldn't use those for sacrifices. They are scavengers. They'll eat just about anything. Of course, they eat our roadkill. I'm thankful for that. But they are very low on the animal rankings. They're actually considered in some ways worthless, right? And yet, see how God cares for them. Not only in this scripture, but throughout the Bible, ravens are mentioned, right? For instance, in Psalm 147:9, it says this, "He, God, provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call." And the lilies spoken of in our scripture today, in our text, are more to be understood as field grass. Yes, it blooms, right, and looks beautiful for a while, rather than those radiant Easter lilies that we think of when we think of lilies. These lilies in the Bible mentioned here were used for kindling. They were used to start fires. So, see, if God cares, if he watches over, if he provides for the lowliest of animals and the lowliest of plants, how much more does he care for you? We are so much more a greater concern to him than these ravens and grass. So don't worry. That's what Jesus is telling us. A third reason Jesus tells us not to worry is because it can't help you anyway. In fact, it diminishes you, it hurts you. There's no doubt about it. Worry and anxiety will hinder your health. Some of you can attest to that, right? And by the way, worry is an equal opportunity offender. The wealthy businessman who worries himself sick whether he can keep up the success that he's had in the business, keep up the numbers, right, is no different than the poor man who worries himself sick because he doesn't have enough money to pay his utility bill. Worry is never the solution. It only makes things worse. Number four, Jesus doesn't want us to worry because this is what the pagans do. Now, pagan is a tough, aggressive word for a non-believer, and I don't suggest we use it. Don't go to your neighbor who doesn't go to church and say, "Hi, pagan," you know? It's just not a winning thing to say to them, right? But so why does Jesus use it? Because he wants to make a stark contrast between those who believe in him and those who follow idols or idolaters committed to false gods. Christians, followers and believers in Jesus, reject all form of materialism. We are in this world, but we're not of it. Our values, our priorities, our focus is entirely different. We are not engrossed in, captivated, beguiled, mesmerized by material things, things of this world. Now, we appreciate them, we like them, but we're not mesmerized by them. We hold on to all material things with a light touch because we know they're here today, gone tomorrow, right? And we know that they came from God and not us. And you say, "Well, I worked for those things that I have." Yeah. When did you decide that you would be born in the United States? Did you work that out before you were born? Wasn't it supposed to be Bangladesh? You know? And you who have these smart minds and go to college and breathe through it, you know, did you do that? Did you give yourself that, right? No, I don't think so. God gave you all those things and the ability to earn and become wealthy, perhaps. Non-believers, and here's the contrast. Pagans, as Jesus says, to make the contrast, are absorbed with this world in many and different ways. They are materialists. They love things. They idolize things of this world. They idolize things of this world. Have you seen my car? Huh? I love my car. It's a BMW. I got rid of that Porsche, you know, right? So they idolize that car. somebody with a shopping cart bumps into it, they go bananas. This is my car. How dare you? I'm suing you, right? Right? I mean, I got a new car a couple years back. Let's see, I got to remember the payments when they started, right? And I promptly, after less than a year, I ran into a pole here in the church, you know. I was so tired after a third service. I just, you know. And you know what? In the deep recesses of my soul, I thought about fixing it. But then I thought, no, now I'm at ease about it. Go ahead. Smash into my car. I don't care, you know. It's already there. Now, I don't mean that we shouldn't take care of things. But you see people idolizing their homes, their cars, jewelry, and they talk about them. And they can't live without these things. If they were taken away from them, they would be all crazy, right? All amiss. That's not us. There should be, and there is, a real contrast between Christians and those who live in this world. The things of this world are not our life. Christ is our life. Christ is our life. And so we use things. You need to borrow things. We need to help things. We're generous with people. And we know that everything we have is a gift and to be used to the glory of God. Amen to that? All right. Number five. Jesus tells us not to worry because our Father delights, is pleased to give you the kingdom. Now let's think about what that means. Each of us knows the waywardness and failings of our own heart, don't we? Right. And we are so undeserving, and yet He wants to give us eternal life and the kingdom of God. They're pretty much inseparable here. He wants to give us the kingdom. Eternal life. If He gives us this, surely He will give us bread. But let's take this deeper. It costs our Heavenly Father nothing to give us food, clothing, worldly riches. It taxes Him nothing because He created all and He owns all. But what did it cost Him to give you the kingdom? What did it cost Him? An eternal life. It cost Him His Son. He sacrificed Jesus Christ in order to give you eternal life, to give you faith, to give you the kingdom, to give you heaven. If He sacrificed His one and only Son for you, then what won't He give you? The Apostle Paul probably said it better than anyone in Romans. In Romans 8:32, He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? All things, not some things, all things. Those are the five reasons Jesus says not to worry. Now you're saying, okay, Pastor, and I'm right there with you, and I'm preaching to myself. Okay, Pastor, I hear all this. I know I shouldn't worry, but how in the world do I overcome it? Because, you know, worry comes on us. It sneaks up on us, and then it's got us, and we're anxious, right? And sometimes there's physical causes, okay, but I'm not talking about that right now, right? Sometimes I've said to people, like, you know, I preach a sermon on not to worry and all that. It's like going out there to someone who is running a mile and in 90-degree weather, and then you come up to them and you say, stop sweating. And they can't do it. They can't do it, right? So I want to give you a remedy for prescriptions from the Word of God. I have six prescriptions. They're going to go by fast, so listen up. Right? And I'm prescribing those for myself. I'm self-prescribing. Number one, take the energy you use to worry and use that energy to have concern for his kingdom, the cause of Christ. Make it the chief business of your life to advance the kingdom, the cause of Christ, to winning the lost and being a conduit where the gospel can come to people. Care about people who don't know Christ. And so before you say, do, or act, ask, does it glorify God? Does it advance the kingdom? Get so busy in being concerned about other people's needs, their physical needs, with an eye to their spiritual needs. Stay so busy with that in helping people that you have no energy left to worry, right? You know what the human psychologists say in their psychology? They say if you're depressed and worried, go out and find somebody who needs your help, right? Well, God says, be so concerned about my kingdom and advancing the cause of Christ that you don't have time to worry, right? That's prescription number one. Prescription number two, think gratitude. Think of all the things you've been given. Fill your mind and heart with gratefulness and acknowledge that all this came from God to you, because it did. It did. And let that squeeze out all thoughts of anxiety. We're blessed people, aren't we? How many of you think, you know, I have my physical needs met, and I also have faith to believe in things that reason can't hold on to, right? Is that you? All right. Is that you? I'm the only one holding my hand up. This is the service where you can be more active, right? If I asked the 8 o'clock service to hold up their hand like that, they would get it up this high. Right. Probably like this. Right. That's good. That's fine. Third prescription. Let thoughts of worry and anxiety be your cue, your reminder, your prompting to pray. To pray. Bring every anxious thought, and listen, when you pray, just say, Lord, I am filled with worry, even though we know it's a sin, you know, I mean, I am filled, he already knows, Lord, I am filled with worry over my position at my company. I feel like they're going to fire me, you know. Just bring it to him. I'm filled with worry. I can't get it out of my mind. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. I'm worried about my child going off to school. You know, I'm worried. Just tell him. You know, prayer is so important. So pray to him. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Right? That's the third prescription. The fourth prescription, when fear arises, take it head on. Don't back down. Go right at it. A lot of things we fear, we postpone. We don't, you know, we have a pain, a sharp pain, and we don't go to the doctor. Because what? We fear we're going to get, it's be pancreatic cancer. Okay? No. Go right at it. Go right to the doctor, whatever, you know. Go right at whatever you fear. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Tackle it. Tackle it. Why do I say that? Is our God visible to us right now? No. What did Jesus say, though, before he left this earth? I'm with you always, even to the end of the age, even to the end of your life. So he's right there, right? He's right there. So take on your fear by saying, Jesus, I know you're here with me. I know you're here with me. Help me through this. I'm going to face it. I'm going to face right up to it. I'm not going to run away. The fifth prescription, worship without fail. Be in the presence of the Father, be in the presence of the Son, be in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, the disciples experiencing peace did not come from finding a lake that had no storms. Their peace came because Jesus was in the boat, right? So worship him. You should leave a worship service like this more empowered, more filled with the Holy Spirit, more graced. You should be able to face Monday, yes, Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. You should be, you know, a lot of you come to Wednesday night. You get a double dose. You get a booster shot, right? Booster shot of grace to handle what life is throwing at us. And life throws a lot at us. This is an important prescription to battle the fears and anxieties of life. And finally, number six, did you know that God wants you to be incredibly rich? Forgive me this, filthy rich. Did you know that? He wants that, just not now. He wants you to be incredibly rich, but not now. Not in this world. Your treasure is in heaven. Secure in every way. Remember that when you have reversals and losses, you're going to end up rich in every way imaginable. Already we're rich in faith, and yes, we're rich in material things. Remember this. God delights to give you the kingdom. He delights to give you the kingdom. Everything else, when you think about it, is very small indeed. Hallelujah! The Lord reigns, and he loves us, and he's with us. And what do you have to worry about when you think of it? Now listen, we will worry in the future. We will get anxious. Try to remember these prescriptions and start taking them. Taking them for the full measure, 7 days, and then come back and let's do it again and fill yourself with the grace of God. In Jesus' name and to his glory, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.